Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, June 10th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where I, along with our buddy columnist Terry Cowgill from the Connecticut News Junkie, both weighed in on a recent verbal confrontation between President Trump and NBC Meet the Press host Kristen Welker concerning election fraud claims. Did the president go too far on this one? Hearst Connecticut Media's Dan Haar also dropped by with his usual Wednesday list of big stories, including the latest on now a four-person first district congressional race and a likely primary. And well, here we go. Yes, back at it with you after a couple of days. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll get to it eventually. It's nothing earth-shattering. But hey, how are you? Yeah, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Talk or text? Yes, we're all set here. Going to get hot in the next couple of days. You just heard that from Paul Piork, so make sure you are in some cool areas. That would help. Somebody I think who has to, and I know I've been gone for a couple of days, and this was actually, what now, 3 days ago or 4 days ago? Yeah, it was on Sunday, but I got to get to this because I saw this, I heard this, and I just said, oh, come on, stop. And, you know, you ever have that kind of person, whether it's in politics, whether it's in, politics or your family life or somebody you work with or whatever, and you just sometimes say, stop, enough, we get it, we understand. Well, listen, that little sit-down with President Trump on Meet the Press, which was recorded for Meet the Press, and Kristen Welker of NBC News, she, of course, the host of Meet the Press, and I play her stuff a lot here because I think she's good. I think she's good, but there's a central point here I want to get to. Now, you may say, hey, Paul, what? Yeah, I kind of heard something happen on Meet the Press. What the heck is going on here? Well, we'll give you this clip, and this clip runs about, I want to start with this, and this will tie in with our question of the day right here at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. A lot of you are already reacting to the question here. I put it up nice early today to make sure you had time to react to it, but listen, it's a basic question here. I think now people are going to say, well, duh, did Donald Trump go overboard? You think? Yeah, he does that a lot. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But what do you think of this? I'm going to play this for you, and I got a couple of points I want to make, and you can imagine where we're going here. So again, did President Trump cross a line and go too far in a spat with Kristen Welker earlier this week on Meet the Press? Now, a lot of us who grew up in the media sphere with presidents kind of jabbing at the media can remember, you know, Richard Nixon and Dan Rather, can remember the vice president at one time. You remember him from Maryland, Richard Nixon's vice president, Spiro Agnew, the nattering nabobs of negativism, he used to call the press. Well, I don't think we ever saw or heard anything. Now, Mr. Trump has given us some taste here and there, a little bite or so. But even I saw this on Sunday or in the remnants of late Sunday, early morning, and went, what? Jeez. So we'll give you that momentarily right here at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, because I think even if you are a Trump fan, I think you may have to just sit back on this one and say, yeah, this turned out to be a little too much right here.
Do you think it's appropriate that they have an election and 5 days later they're nowhere close to picking
State
a winner?
State and local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they
vote
in California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really?
Let's
well,
continue.
You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's
you
continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide. and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why
you've
I got that? Because you have no
evidence.
Credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about, I want to talk about Todd Burch.
You have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
your
about
your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
But, Mr. President,
and so is ABC and CBS and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
you're one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, let's please.
He's taking off the microphone now.
I've
sat in the rain
with you. I know.
I've sat in the rain with you for an hour. On and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
And then she said,
I spoke with President Trump on Saturday, and we both acknowledged the complications during the interview posed by the rain. He agreed to sit down with me for another Meet the Press interview.
Do you think it's appropriate that they have an election and 5 days later they're nowhere close to picking a...
Well, there you go. A little much? Yeah, I thought. I just, you know, I saw that and I said, well, does part of you say, well, that's just him. Let him be him. But the fact that he's just accusing everybody of being crooked. Well, I mean, if somebody is really crooked, then how do you know they're crooked when, Mr. President, sir, everybody else may be crooked? You see what I'm driving at here? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Once again, talk or text. More to getting some text messages here. You can call and I want to get. I felt bad for Kristen Welker. I did. I genuinely felt bad for Kristen Welker. Now, she can take it, obviously. She's a big girl, grown woman, you know. But if you saw the video there, Trump was doing all his aggressive things. Hands on the knees. You know, he doesn't sit back for these interviews. This is a trick he's always done. He gets into your face a little bit, into your space. But he would do that when he was on with Oprah, when he was on with Larry King all those years ago, years and years and years ago. But he's got to stop. He's got to stop with the crooked. All right, we'll be back to talk about that. That's another aspect of this. But just give me your thought. Did he cross the line there? I know. Is the Pope Catholic? Does a bear, you know, is baseball made for the summer? You know what I mean there? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC.
I've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about, I want to talk about Todd
You
Burch.
Have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
your
about
your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
your elections are crooked. And you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked, and so is ABC, and CBS, and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
you're one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits, because I've had enough.
He's had enough. Wait a minute. Aren't I crooked here? He mentioned ABC, CBS, your network, NBC. Got that Queens thing coming across there? Oh, my God. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. But I do have one point to bring up here, but let's do this slow, nice and easy today. But man, oh man, everybody's crooked. Are they, Mr. President? But now, having said that, we have, you know, the proxy of everybody else in the Trump orbit suddenly climbing onto this and finding nothing wrong with it. And all right, you find nothing wrong with this. I do. This is not necessary. Do you know how many more people would like him if he, even with the stuff he's doing in Iran and the tariffs and all this, even stuff that may have backfired, it's just he thrives off this. And I mean, he knows the networks aren't crooked. I mean, he can say that all he wants, but come on, man. What do you think of this? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Let's see if Henry there or is he not there, Mr. Producer? Did he depart? He's back. All right. Maybe Henry's crooked. Henry, how are you, sir? What's up?
Picked up right away. That's the fastest you ever picked up. Again, I didn't call to argue. I'm just making believe what they call parlor talk.
Yeah.
I'm not talking for or against him.
Okay.
One
no,
thing you got to admit
talk
is,
against him if you like. That's fine.
No. If I say the wrong thing, you hang up. He's not stupid. We both agree.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to call the radio station here, you can't use potty mouth. No potty mouth. And you can't, and again, something Henry did there that I had to let him go for. It's bad enough, you know, there was a word used that we can't use on the radio, Henry. Thank you so much. Remember, when you're calling here, it's not like that was your first call. Jeez. Christ. Jeez, oh. Where is this? And I'm actually glad Henry used a phrase that I, you know, we got to be careful with slander and libel and all this, but before we get into the nitty-gritty of what I wanted to open up here, dovetailing off that, as we say, can people stop with the pedophile stuff unless we have hard and fast evidence? Well, you know, Trump doesn't want those Epstein files released because, well, you know, the P word. No. What's the P? Well, you know, pedophile. Well, what do you go around tossing that stuff? Like it's a, like I always say, like it's a freaking handful of Skittles out of the bag. Hey, can I get some of those? Hey, let's do that over there. Are you out of your minds? Seriously. Are you out of your freaking minds? Accusing people of being, of now, he's a big boy. He can take it, obviously. He probably doesn't care. You want to call somebody a pedophile? Where's your evidence? And this digs back to something he was talking about here. And he's talking about how long it took or it takes or, geez, we finally got the results when? Last night, the night before? Count votes in California? Really? This is how we're doing this in America? We'll get to that momentarily. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC.
Your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked, and so is ABC, and CBS, and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
your one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits, because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
Stop begging, Kristen. Stop begging. All right, I can't get enough of that. You're crooked. Everybody's crooked. She's crooked. He's crooked. Even for Donald Trump, did that cross a line? So we'll get back to the telephones on that momentarily. Text messages, emails pouring in here. I've read some of the best we've had so far today. All right, let's segue from that to what's going on in Maine, what's going on locally here in Connecticut. We'll talk about the first district race momentarily. First, though, our buddy, our pal, one of our great analysts, who usually joins me on Monday. I wasn't here Monday. I said, I'm going back to work on Wednesday. Let me talk to Terry Calgill, the Connecticut News Junkie, ctnewsjunkie.com, and also substack.com/ red meat for mushy moderates. Hey, Terry Calgill, how are you, sir?
Hey, not bad. I'm still reeling a little bit from that interview with the president as well. I agree with you about the begging part, but you know what really triggered him was he kept saying the California primary was rigged.
Yeah,
and she kept saying, "But you don't have any evidence."
There's no evidence,
and he couldn't. What's that?
There's no evidence.
Yeah, he didn't have any evidence, and she kept pressing him on it, and he couldn't really produce anything. He just said, "Well, all I have to do is look, and all of these votes are coming in late. They're counting them late, and it, as if there's a correlation between being slow to count the votes and fraud." And he just couldn't. He just lost his time. His face was redder than a tomato, and he just blew his stack. Great television, if nothing else.
Yeah. And again, Terry, am I open to anything? Abso-freaking-lutely. If there's graft going on in the vote, if there is illegality, then fine. But you got to get, like I always say, Terry, and you and I can relate because we're about the same age, give or take a year or two. We remember during Watergate, and everybody said, oh, they're just out to get Nixon. This is all orchestrated. And then remember, John Dean started talking, and he went on for, yeah, what, about a week or 7 or 8 days, multiple hours. I was transfixed by this. And that's, yeah, what you need, Terry. You need somebody to hold up a hand, swear in front of Congress, and say, listen, under penalty of perjury, I'm going to tell you how California was rigged, right?
Yeah. I mean, if he could just say, and then you see Mike Johnson, they were trying to interview him, the Speaker of the House, Manu Raju was. He says, well, I don't, you know, all this corruption is so far upstream that you can't even find it. So as if the fact that you can't find the fraud is evidence of the fraud.
Isn't that great?
This is amazing logic.
Isn't that great? All right, let's go to, I know you've been posting a lot, and God bless you, on the situation with Maine and this guy Graham Plattner, who is every day it's almost something new. Terry, I think he's going to win. I just think we root for the uniform so much now that actual corruption or a scant cluster of character doesn't mean anything here.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I don't know. You know, Maine is kind of a purple state, yeah, for the most part. I know that they've had a lot of Democratic officials, but it's basically, you know, it's split between the liberals along the coast. Mm-hmm. The liberals like water, apparently. That's the same nationwide, East Coast, West Coast. But certainly inland, yeah, it's quite red, and there are enough people there that they can make a real difference in the elections. But you know, I think the Democratic strategists made a mistake. I know that the Democratic Party, the establishment, including Chuck Schumer, they wanted Mills, the incumbent governor, the 77-year-old incumbent governor.
Yeah.
But really, you know, Chuck Schumer is about as out of touch as you can possibly get. And I don't know that the Democratic establishment was really for Mills, because she dropped out because she couldn't raise any money.
Yeah.
And generally, if you've got the National Democratic Party on your side, they can raise some money for you. But she was, you know, totally out of money. And then there's as soon as she dropped out, everybody fled over to Tallarico. And now we see all of his different flaws. And I kept saying to myself, couldn't they at least find somebody who didn't have a Nazi tattoo? Because this is just, you know, it's very difficult for Democrats to point to a lot of people on the right and say that these are horrible people.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it lowers their standing to be able to do this, because they're supporting a guy who has, you know, multiple accusations of sexual misconduct and sexting, even while he was married, as recently as, I believe, a couple of years ago. So this is I think it's going to be a problem. You know, Democrats fell in love and Republicans fall in line. That's the old saying. The Democrats fell in love with John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, because,
yeah,
they felt it was the same thing, right? Working class kind of guy, macho dude, high T. And now they hate him, it seems. So I think they're going to regret this choice. I really don't think he's going to win, but, you know, what do I know? I'm not an expert on Maine politics.
Yeah, a little closer in Connecticut politics here. Boy, Terry, that first district race now, you got Luke Bronin, you've got Jillian Gilchrist, you, of course, have the longtime incumbent at 77, I think, John Larson, and now you've got Ruth Fortune apparently saying she's going to be able to get in, and, man, I have said for the past several months on this program, that might be, even beyond the governor's race in some way, Terry Cowgill, that might be the most fascinating race here in Connecticut coming up in November.
Yeah, I think it will, because of the sheer numbers, certainly in the primary, and it really picks. It's a generational race, certainly in the Democratic side.
Yeah,
because, you know, but Larson has been in there for a long, long time. I mean, I remember, I've been here. I'm old enough to remember when he was in the state legislature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a working class guy from East Hartford, and I believe he rose up to be majority leader in the Senate, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember people saying, you know, he looks like Kennedy. And he sort of does. He did in those days.
Yeah, yeah, he's got that.
That maybe he was going to go a long way. But, you know, there comes a time when every politician's career's got to end. And I'm thinking that Bronin is probably going to be the Democratic nominee.
I think so, too. I really do. I mean,
he's worn out his welcome.
Yeah, I mean, and again, step aside. You're 77. You've got, you know, obviously family you can hang out with. But you know what, Terry? I guess it becomes so intoxicating. I mean, think about it. You're one of 535 people, if you count the U.S. Senate, who have incredible power. You're worshipped like deities. There's microphones in front of your face all the time. It's got to be intoxicating.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're treated like a king, you know, wherever you go. People deflect to you, oh, hello there, Congressman or Senator. And, yeah, I think it becomes intoxicating after a while. And you just don't want to give it up because where can you go after that? You know, you're going to feel like a nobody because it's a big come down from being treated like that your entire career. And it's been a long time for him, and he'll have to find something else to do with himself. But you know what? It happens to everybody. Eventually, we all are put out to pasture.
Yeah.
So
I
certainly hope that if that happens, that he can find something productive to do with himself. He's a smart guy. I'm sure he can get a job doing something else if he still wants to work.
Absolutely. Terry Cowgill, check him out at the Connecticut News Junkie. And nationally, he publishes great stuff on Substack.com/ red meat for mushy moderates. No bad meat in his column. It's all red and juicy and good. Terry Cowgill. Hey, Terry, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Bye.
All right. Terry Cowgill there every Wednesday right around this time. Into the 5 o'clock hour, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist, stops by with what's cooking on his mind. Dan, how are you, sir?
Great. Well, it's terrific. Everything's good here in the holiday land.
That's good. The governor's energy plan and the political reaction to it, not favorable by a lot of his critics. What is the governor proposing, Mr. Haar, to lower energy bills?
Well, there's lots of ways to go when you look at energy prices. It's a very complicated picture. And what the governor is doing is he's attempting to, and this would be through a combination of measures, some of which may not need legislation, most of it does. But he's attempting to empower regulators to use more discretion, essentially. And he's also attempting to change the laws such that, for example, to me, the most dramatic thing in here, which is not as widely talked about as some of this other stuff, is that he wants to make it possible for affordability to be part of the consideration by PURA, by the regulators, right? So in other words, I don't know what that means. He didn't explain what that means exactly. And what we think it means is that if Connecticut Light and Power, which I still use that name, that's still legally the name of Eversource Connecticut. Uh-huh. If they come forward and say, we need, you know, $300 million to do blah, blah, blah. Right now, the review is if you've spent the money and it was prudent, we have to give it to you. And they fight over that prudency question and the need, whether this stuff is needed. What Lamont wants to do is make affordability, the cost of these improvements, part of the consideration. And we don't know exactly what that means, but it could be dramatic.
So isn't that essentially, Dan Haar, sort of a beauty in the eye of the beholder thing or not here?
Well, I mean, yes. But I will say that the two major critics of Governor Lamont, that is Democrat Josh Elliott and Republican Ryan Fazio, who were not shy about criticizing Lamont's plan today as being not dramatic enough, you know, they have every idea for reducing energy costs is by definition trickery. There's no such thing as an idea to reduce energy costs that isn't some kind of financial or regulatory trickery.
Sure.
Because the bottom line is that electricity costs are going up because it costs more money to deliver, to generate and deliver electricity. It just does. And so what, for example, Fazio wants to do is take the public benefits off the bill. Well, okay, that means either you don't get the public benefits, which we want, some people, many people do, or the taxpayers pay them. So there's no solution that just sort of magically makes us into a grid the cost of Nebraska.
Yeah, precisely. Moving on, I kind of was hoping that this would happen. I love a good political brawl. We now have, according to what Ruth Fortune said, we could get a four-way primary now in the first congressional district. I love it. What are your thoughts?
A big winner is John Larson, the incumbent, because the just as in Trump world, the more confusion there is, the better it is for the guy in office. And that's no different at the ballot box. The more confusion there is, the better it is for the guy in office. And the thinking is that the vote will split between people who are not John B. Larson, the 28-year veteran U.S. representative, and people who are. And so those who are not will have to divide the spoils that way. Obviously,
yeah.
Luke Bronin is the only one of the four who can win, but that doesn't mean he's the only one of the four who can affect the outcome.
Ah, perfect spot on the analysis there. To the Republicans here. And
by the way, we should just say it is, if Ruth Fortune does get those signatures approved, she's the appointed Hartford Board of Ed member who's the fourth person in running.
That
would be an amazing feat because many people, including in this cycle, have fallen short of getting signatures. And if she does succeed, good for her. Because she seems to have gotten a lot of signatures, and there's a lot of I's to cross and T's to dot. And if she does it right and gets on that ballot, that is a no small feat for her.
Yeah, it's not easy to get these signatures. You and I have talked about that numerous times, and I have with other folks as well. The Republicans, you say, appear to have enough signatures to get rid of that guy, I'll just leave it at that, in the 50th district here.
Oh, is he now like the shooter at Sandy Hook where we don't name him? I like that. I'll go with that. Somebody named Anthony Emilio, who is some kind of local official out that way, is the anointed Republican who virtually every Republican in the state was up in the greater Pomfret area this weekend trying desperately to get signatures. And appears, it hasn't been certified yet, but it appears they got the signatures. And so that would be a primary for the right to face a popular Representative Pat Boyd, the incumbent, who's a Democrat. And it is reprehensible what happened, but I think you have to give more credit to the Democrats for stepping up and attempting to oust this Voldemort character than you do scorn for the party for allowing him to get on the ballot in the first place.
Couple more things here. Aaron Stewart's IOUs just getting a little steeper. Oh, we see here.
Yeah, I didn't realize until today because I didn't cover the story that the $241,000 that the city is asking to claw back does not even include the $207,000 in in key card expenses, some of which are legitimate. We know that some is legitimate, but that's the amount that's in question. And so her bill could go well up over $400,000 if all of the disallowed expenses and legal fees, this is important, she's being charged for legal fees for the city. So good luck getting those legal fees if you're the city of New Britain out of Aaron Stewart, but they're going for him.
Dan, let me ask you this. Do you anticipate there'll be a trial here? Do you think there'll be an arrest here, or is she going to just enter a plea and come up with a restitution plan? Are you hearing anything here? What do you feel on that?
Well, it's premature. We always say the same thing each time. These are not charges. These are legal reports that have been referred to criminal authorities. And so I think it would be premature for anyone at this point to say what might happen other than it looks really bad.
Yeah, Certainly does. It seems to be a revelation every day. And finally, one of our members of Congress, Mr. Himes, Democrat 4th District in our neck of the woods here, he's upset that apparently this guy, Bill Pulte, the guy's basically what, a mortgage guy. He's a finance guy, and we're going to have him run DNI. Is that where we are now?
Bill Pulte is the grandson of the founder of one of the largest home building companies in America.
Yep.
And he was left a fortune and control of the company. When his grandfather died, he was very close to his grandfather. And he knows home building and he knows home finance. And he has used his position as head of the finance home finance agencies to basically go after Letitia James and other enemies of Donald Trump and nothing else. And so Representative Hines is saying this is the most troubling of all appointments. Now, that is, I mean, that's like saying what was the best movie and who was the best baseball player in 1940, you know, between Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio, or what was the best movie in 1939 between you know, The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind. Yeah. I mean, that is some serious competition there.
Yeah. Dan Haar, good stuff. Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. Dan, have a happy week, and we'll chat with you yonder on next Wednesday. Thank you, sir.
Have a good week.
Thanks. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, right here as we continue on WICC.